At 7:03, I call this meeting to order. And before we begin, I want to welcome two new members of Senate. We have Jacob Gilroy from U of Campus constituency, and we have Joran Tangestell from the IC constituency. Welcome to Senate, and we're going to have fun together. Today's question is, what's one item on your bucket list? Technology director.
Senator Wicklund, what's the question?
What item on your bucket list?
Just go to Cuba.
Speaker Asghar. Senator Anderson.
Bungee jumping.
Senator Fonder.
Why?
Senator Don, Senator Shugo.
To go back to Norway.
Senator Allen.
Go to the Olympics.
Senator Hagianis. Senator Ron?
Skydiving.
Senator Butler?
Also skydiving.
Senator Concepcion?
Go to Croatia.
Senator Sam?
I met Jason Meade.
Senator Young?
Visit all seven continents.
Senator Lang?
Go to Australia.
Senator Steinwan?
Go to every continent, except Antarctica.
Senator Larson?
Go to every single national park in the U.S.
Senator Tangestell?
Close.
Tangestell.
Tangestell.
Yep. Visit South Korea.
Finance Chair Keeley.
Ski in the Alps.
Ombudsperson O'Neill.
I think you have somebody.
Chair Tram Nguyen.
Go to Cancun.
Chair Han Nguyen.
Skydiving.
Chair Mer.
She would surf on a really big wave.
Chair Harbeck. Chair Controller Arshad. Co-President Svensson. Co-President Nabiano.
Writing votes. Technology Director Fan.
Skydiving.
Advisor Vanaki.
Safari in Africa.
With that, the quorum is met. And our next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from February the 19th. Do we have any objection on the minutes?
Bethel was.
Oh, I am so sorry. Senator, see you.
Okay, I want to visit Jerusalem.
Did everyone have the occasion to express themselves? Great. So our next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from last Monday. Do we have any objections to the minutes? Objections? Seeing none, we're going to community comment. Do we have any community comment? Community comment? Seeing none, we are going to our next item, which is appointments. So, our previous parliamentarian resigned due to personal reasons, and one of the other applicants from last spring was Priscilla Otero.
Yep.
Priscilla Otero. And we contacted her to see if she was interested in the position, which she was. And I would ask her to go in the back of the room, and she was a very qualified candidate for what we were looking for in the parliamentarian, and we wanted to invite her to the floor today for any questions, discussion, and then vote if we are approving this new parliamentarian setup. Do we have, maybe I'll give her an opportunity to introduce herself for a few seconds.
So, hello. I'm Priscilla Otero, and I'm a senior here at Gustavus. I'm a political science honors double major with philosophy. I have been a member of Model United Nations since high school, and currently I'm the co-president of Model United Nations here on campus since I transferred here my junior year. I have history with Robert Rules of Order, and I'm super excited to get to answer your questions and to participate with Student Senate before I graduate this spring.
Do we have any questions for the candidate?
Hi. Could you tell us a little bit more about your experience with parliamentary procedure, please?
Of course. So mainly it's been with Modern United Nations. And Modern United Nations is run with parliamentary procedure. So anytime as a delegate when you represent a country or a nation, you follow parliamentary procedure. In addition to being a delegate in Modern United Nations, in high school I have co-chaired specific committee sessions. And so I have experience with that.
Okay, and then a second question for you is, do you have a chance to take a look at our bylaws and constitution yet? And if so, is there anything in there that you saw as something that might be changed or has room for improvement? And if not, is there something in there that you really liked or something?
Right. So I did have time to skim through the bylaws. I don't really have a current opinion on the bylaws. I think it's well done for a student body, which we are. I would obviously love to continue working with everyone here to make Student Senate the best it can be.
Alright, thank you very much. With that, I yield.
Any other questions? Senator Young.
How do you spell your last name for the minutes?
Okay, so my last name is Otero, and it's spelled O-T-E-R-O.
O-T-E-R-O?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I got that right in there. But no further questions.
Almost first on Neil.
Parliamentarian serves on ethics committee, mm-hmm. which is kind of an elite group. And so like just so we're on the same page, everything, do Sundays work for you occasionally, right, briefly?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Cool. Favorite ice cream flavor?
I love chocolate, so.
That'll work.
Yep. Do we have any other questions? 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 So now you have a choice to stay in the room or maybe step out a little bit as we discuss you, and then we'll go move into a vote. Sure. I'm going to open the floor to discussion. Discussion of the candidate. Senator Rutland.
So I know Priscilla. I'm in my political science thesis class with her, and I've known her since she kind of became involved with Model United Nations, and my perception is that she really shaped up our Model United Nations Club. There's a little bit of struggling going on in there, and she helped make sure that it was a very equitable situation for students involved in Model United Nations, and she really is on top of her stuff. She knows what she's doing, and when she says that she's like comfortable doing something or knows how to do it, like she does. She's very good for her word. So I do think that she would be great for this position. With that, I yield.
Ombudsperson O'Neill.
I think a number of philosophy classes with her. She seems very nice and thoughtful. Sorry, my voice. So yeah, I think she'd be good for this position. I yield.
Any other discussions? Discussion. Seeing none, we move to a vote. Those in favor of the candidate say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Abstentions? The candidate is approved. Congratulations. Do we have any other questions? Seeing none, our next item on the agenda is budgets. And our first budget is the Running Club, Director Keeley.
Yes, so Running Club is coming in for a mid-year. They're asking for $500. They have two more races left in the year. They're asking for more money because of people coming back from studying abroad and more members in the club, but I'll so $500, and the finance committee approves it in full. But I'll let Laura explain on why they're asking for the money a little bit.
Hi everyone, I'm Laura from the Running Club, and we are just asking for $500 more split between the next two races of the semester. So we have an April race and a May race left. And the reason we're asking for more money is, like Jack said, some of our more active members in the club have recently come back from study abroad, and so the number of members that we expect to participate in the next two races is greater than the number that participated in the fall races. And so the races are just getting more expensive as the time gets closer to the race. And then also, since it's like the start of the new semester, a lot of our members are very excited about the club, so they're more active in the club, and we just expect that more will participate in the races, and we want to like be ahead of the game and like have enough money to have people be able to run the races with us. Does anyone have questions?
How many active members do you have currently?
I would say 15.
Okay.
Active members.
And do you know how many members want to go to each race, or are you just kind of guessing?
Well,
at this point?
For the March race, we have 15 members going. So I would say around there for the next two races. I know for the May race last year, it was one of our really popular races, so I could see the number being like 18 or so for that race, just because it's a half marathon and everyone is like really excited about it since it's the last race.
Okay, so just to clarify then, for the April race, you know for sure how many people are going, and then...
Not yet.
Okay.
But I envision it, based on the March race numbers, to be, like, the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Director Kelly or the club rep? Senator Allen?
If you come back with, like... If you end up getting more people wanting to sign up for these races, will you come back to Senate?
No. Our like plan is to just implement a co-pay system for the students that want to race. So we will have like, because our budget is set up where we have a certain allotment for each race, and so we just will use that money for the race, and then if there's leftover money that like isn't going to be covered by Senate, then that will be divided by the number of runners, and then they'll just pay a copay for that.
Okay.
So that their copay will just go into our nine line, and then we'll use our nine line funds for that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to discussion of the budget. Do we have any discussion on the budget?
Just a question for our finance chair. I feel like we've had usually with budgets where like they know the exact number. Is there anything concerning about that?
Yeah, so with both races, it chalks up to about 3 to 4 more people that are running the races. And from talking to the club, that seems like what the average number is going to be. So we just rounded up to $500.
Okay, and then if it ended up being that they had like less participants, does that money stay with Senate?
Well, the money will still be allocated, but the money won't be, and if it's not used, it'll come back to Senate.
Okay.
So, yeah. All
right, thank you. I yield.
I see no issue with the budget. I'm in full support. I yield.
Senator Young?
Two things. I forgot what I was going to say. Technical at the same time. Thank you.
Any other questions? Questions? Or discussion? Discussion? Seeing none, we move to a vote. Those in favor of the budget as it stands, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? The budget is approved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next budget is... It's not a budget per se, but we will have our director explain what's going on with the global China connection.
Yeah, so if you recall from last week, a budget for $245 was passed for global China connection for the Lunar New Year event. And it was passed on the assumption that no bylaws were going to be broken, but the restaurant that they ordered the food from did not accept credit cards over the phone. So then a Gustavus professor had to then go and buy the food in person, which that food can be credited to the Global China Connection account, but in order for Senate to process that request for payment, that is breaking a bylaw, which will require a two-thirds vote on the Senate floor. So that's kind of the issue, because it is funding retroactively, and that's a breaking the bylaw. But I'll let these guys here kind of explain the successes of the event and why asking to break the bylaw. So,
Hi, I'm Chelsea from CCG, and the Lunar New Year celebration was on Friday, and we booked a room in the
Caribbean.
And there are more people attending the events than we expected. There are also like people standing on the back, because we didn't provide enough chair, and it turns out pretty great. And one thing is that we didn't know that the Senate only pays your own credit card.
So yeah, the issue was it was passed on the assumption that this restaurant they could, so how they could talk to Cassandra in the CAO office and then pay for it with her credit card over the phone, but since that wasn't doable, then somebody else had to physically go to the restaurant and buy it, which coming from Senate's money is retrospective funding. If the restaurant would have accepted the credit card over the phone, this wouldn't have been an issue, but yeah, that's why we're here, so.
Questions for the clerk?
So question for the finance director, just to play like devil's advocate, what would happen if Senate didn't do a two-thirds vote?
So if that were to happen, then Senate as a whole would not be able to process the RFP, and Global China Connection would not get the $245, and that has to be covered by the organization.
Okay.
Yeah.
I yield.
Senator Wickham.
So this is more a question for our buds person, finance chair / new parliamentarian, no pressure. this feels very odd to me to like re-vote on a budget we already voted on. Do we need to vote to reopen the budget first or something?
So the way that I saw it is that the budget is already passed. It's just the processing of the RFP is what needs to be voted on, and then breaking up the bylaw is what needs to be voted on. That's how I'm seeing it, but.
But the budget was passed under the assumption it wasn't breaking a bylaw, so I feel like we'd have to reopen the budget to break the bylaw, not treat it separately.
We could, but that would be the decision of the senators here. But since it's already like closed, from my understanding, it doesn't need to be reopened, just because they broke a bylaw. So we could reopen it for more discussion, but we're discussing it now. So we don't really have to necessarily open up the vote for the budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me feel more comfortable. I yield.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Somebody else?
It's a question for the finance. So how are we thinking of treating similar situations in the future?
So similar situations in the future. I think maybe doing some more research into where the goods are being bought, just because that was something that we didn't know, was will they be able to accept the payment over the phone? And I think kind of digging deeper and looking more into it, I think will be a something to look at moving forward.
So for me, I want to pass this. I just worry that we're setting a precedent of like just saying, oh, it's okay if you don't look enough into it, because I feel like then we need to like find the balance. We need to figure out a good way to ensure that like clubs don't see this as a precedent for like as an excuse for retroactive funding. So I don't know if that would be something for the bylaws or just something that the finance
committee would
establish in the future, but I think we need to consider that. I yield.
Any other questions?
Advisor Vanaki? I think I'm confused. So, like, normally when I think about retroactive funding, it means the student org has an event, and then after the event is over, they come to Senate and they say, hey, will you pay for that event? Like that at least used to be the old definition of retroactive funding, and that Senate didn't ever care if a college credit card got used, or a personal student member credit card got used, or some random professor used their, paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So did we change our definition of retroactive funding?
So Raphael and I, and we talked about it in the finance committee, so this is how we thought of it, but if that's how it's traditionally been thought of, then there's really no, I guess there's no problem. So that'd be really great if that's how we're looking at it.
Unless we changed it, that's been for years kind of.
That's how Rafa and I kind of thought it through. But I mean, if things have been done differently in the past.
Then. Yeah, and if we changed our definition, then by all means, take your vote. But at least in the past, retro was about the timing of the event compared to the asking for the funds.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Any other questions?
So, do we vote on this or dismiss it?
So, we can move into discussion and...
You could, like, affirm a definition or affirm an understanding of retroactive.
In the discussion.
Like you could, as a Senate, say, this is what we think retroactive should be.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that we can discuss in the Finance Committee as well and come up with a more concrete definition.
Are you?
Jeremy, so I'm a little confused. So who's going to be ending, if we do that, who ends up actually paying for?
So if we do what?
If we just dismiss this.
So if this is how it was done in the past, then this technically isn't retroactive. But how Raph and I were looking at it, we thought that this was retroactively funding. And so Senate would still end up paying for it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So just because there's been a little bit of confusion about how to move forward with these kind of two options here. I'd just suggest for senators, if they feel comfortable moving past questions, going into discussion, if you feel like we need to vote on this, then you can bring that up and move that we actually do the two-thirds vote. If you don't feel like it, we could just not and move on. I yield.
Any other questions? Questions? I'm going to open the floor to discussion. Senator Lyon.
Since we began this under the impression their definition of retroactive spending, and that's how this came up in our discussion, I think we should continue for the time using the Finance Committee's definition of retroactive spending. And then after this situation has been dealt with, we can alert ourselves to the actual usage of retroactive funding and what we want that to be.
Almost close on here.
In that case, it sounds like maybe a vote on this one and then a discussion afterwards. I think, just in the interest of respect and their time, we should figure out their decision quick and then do whatever else we need to do if we get the president's deal. I yield.
Considering we've just noted that the language has been interpreted differently than it's written, and also that we don't need to vote for them to be funded, I think it's just a waste of time to do that, and we should just let them be funded. I yield.
Do we have any other discussion?
So I have like another clarifying question. So like the two things we can go, we can either motion for a vote, or we just don't say anything else, and then it just, they automatically get funded? Or?
Technically, you've already moved for a vote because the Finance Committee has asked for a vote.
So technically,
the committee has moved that this body should vote. So it's not like somebody needs to make a motion to a vote because the committee has already first and second.
But if
that.
We don't want to vote, we don't.
I think for me, you're in uncharted territory. Any insights into that one,
okay,
in terms of parliamentary procedure? But I think that you already have a call for a vote on the floor,
yeah,
from the committee.
Okay.
Yes.
I yield.
There's a call for a vote, so we have to end, like, vote.
So what are we doing?
Can the committee retract their call for a vote? Okay, let's do the vote thing. I am.
I don't think it'll hurt anything in your process or your procedures to vote to give them the money they you've already voted to give them.
Any other discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, we move to a vote. Reminder that this recorded 2/3 votes since we are under the assumption of the finance committee. Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Abstentions? Budget is. We are back into discussion. Do we have any other discussion on the budget as a whole? Senator Allen.
Can I motion for something during the discussion?
Yes.
I can. I motion for Finance Committee to looking into making a policy or just checking the bylaws to figure out what retroactive funding is defined as. Thank you.
There's a second. Second goes to Senator Anderson. You're going to move into discussion. The floor is yours.
I yield.
Congressperson O'Neill.
In allocating guidelines, number 13, it says, the Senate will not allocate funding retroactively. And that's all there is in bylaws.
So can I friendly, or it's not friendly, is it? Can I change the motion?
You can amend.
If it's not a substantial change, you can friendly your own emotion if it's not substantially different than what you started with.
So can I friendly Finance Committee into looking at how in defining retroactive funding more, or would that be?
I would imagine that would be the no-brainer, that they would have read your motion as in the first place.
Yeah. So I just friendly it as that. Yeah.
We are still in the discussion of the motion. Discussion. Senator Young?
I think this is a good idea, and it would help to clarify if we have a definition other than just saying retroactive, as it's clear that it's been interpreted in multiple ways throughout the years.
Senator Wickham?
I'm sure this is implied, so I don't feel the need to change the motion, but also just if it's possible for the committee to look at precedent and just see what's been done in the past too, that'd be great. I yield.
Any other discussion? Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, we move into a vote. Those in favor of the motion as it stands say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Abstentions? The motion passes. We are back into discussion. Do we have any other discussion on the budget section? Senator Long.
I yield.
Discussion. Seeing none, we move into old business. So old business, we had a discussion last week about a bylaw that the Ethics Committee in conjunction with the Finance Committee that they brought up together on the floor, and the agreement was that the senators were going back to their constituencies to ask the opinion of the constituencies and also come back and discuss the bylaws as the amendments as they stand on the screen. I will yield the floor to one of the chairs of the committees.
So this is actually the one about the co-presidents writing a letter in the event that a member of the Davis community is deceased.
Oh.
That's okay.
Okay, the floor is yours. Let's do it.
So for those of you that are new or would like a refresher, in the wake of the recent passing of the Davis student, we thought about ways that students then could respond. And what we kind of came up with or settled on last time was that the student senate co-presidents would write a handwritten letter to the family of the deceased, expressing their condolences on behalf of the student body. Oh, I thought it'd be best to add this just at the end of co-president duties, which is a section of the bylaws. So this is what we have. And then a little side note, I don't know if we can just like friendly this. There's just like a typo right below it, so I figured I'd throw that in. It's unrelated. So this is a new bylaw, and we need to vote on it or discuss it.
I never remember. Is the bylaw to vote? Like, you have to, is that the waiting period, or do you not do that with bylaws?
There's some part of Senate when you change it, you have to wait, and there's some part of Senate that you don't, and I just don't ever remember which ones you wait on and which ones you don't.
We discussed it last time, so does it go ahead?
I think, I don't remember. I don't trust myself to remember which way it is.
This is usually when the co-president chimes in, which has been in the position for years.
That's exactly right. It's Solvay's fault.
There's always a discussion, so let's just do the discussion, and then I'll figure it out.
Okay, we're moving to the discussion of this.
So this language, as written, says, in the event of a death in the Gustavus community, they'll write a handwritten note, etc. I believe our discussion was specific to a death of a student at Gustavus, and I bring this up for discussion because I feel like inside Gustavus or whatever, every week it gets sent out, it's always like somebody who used to work here passed, or somebody who used to work here's partner passed or something, and that might be overwhelming for the co-presidents to do that weekly. I would like to motion to amend this to change in the event of a death in the Gustavus community to in the event of a death of a current Gustavus student. Yes.
Second goes to Senator Allen.
Discussion? Yeah, I wanted to be added to discussion.
Okay, that was an amendment.
Yes. That was a motion for amendment.
That was a motion for amendment. We have
which
a second.
We can discuss if it.
Second goes to Senator Schlegel. We are going to move into discussion. Senator Woodrow.
So I made this motion for the reasons I previously stated, just that we were talking about doing this specific to students to represent the student body as student senate. I yield.
Senator Allen?
I do think community is too broad of a word, but I think what was trying to be done is include like current teachers or current administration. So I don't think we can change it to Gustavus students, as that's too limiting, but it can't be as broad as community. I yield.
Chair Mia. Do you yield?
Yeah.
Senator Woodrow?
I'm still in favor of just tightening it down to students, because that is within the purview of Student Senate, I feel like, that we're here to represent like the student body and student losses. And that was the original charge of the committee. I suppose that I would entertain the idea of extending this to Gustavus faculty and administration if the body thinks that that's a good idea. But just the original charge was for students specifically. I yield.
Senator Schulow?
Yeah, I was operating under the same assumption that we were just talking about students this whole time. And I feel like that's like, if we're going to be writing a note like on behalf of the student body, I think it's better just for students than for like faculty or admin. I yield.
Senator Anderson?
I think that it would be good to add faculty in, because I think that the argument that's being made is kind of that we're representing like Gustavus students and like they're like mourning and like being there for the family, and I think if a faculty member were to pass away, students would be affected by that just as much, and so I think that they might want to be represented by this with a note. I yield.
Chairman?
Yeah, I agree with the previous speaker, especially because of the extremely close interactions students have with faculty members. I think it makes perfect sense to me that the student body would send their condolences for professor that they had or administrator that they didn't have. I yield.
Senator Fonder?
I echo the sentiments of the previous two speakers. I think as Student Senate, we represent all of Gustavus, not just the students, and it'd be best to include anyone that's employed by Gustavus as well. I yield.
Any other discussion on the motion? Senator Wisdom?
So I'm not opposed to extending this, but just more food for thought is who all is going to be included in an extended purview. Also backtracking, there was a comment made that like we represent Gustavus as a whole, but like our job is to represent our constituents, which are the students, and there's like a faculty senate for like the faculty, et cetera. But anyways, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it just because of that. Who should be included in this scope? Should administrators be included? Should an HR person that we never work with because we are not employed by this college be included? Should custodians be included, et cetera? I'd just be interested in hearing like a full definition of who all should be included in this. I yield.
Senator Fondo?
I think technically we represent our constituents, that's correct, but I think we're a very important part of the entire Gustavus community, and it would be important for us to reach out to other members as well. I don't see why including current faculty or other employees would be a problem at all. I yield.
Do you have any other discussion? Senator Anderson?
I agree with the previous speaker. I think that all current faculty should be included. I think that we're a small school and we interact with everyone who works here and goes to school here on a daily basis, and whether they be a professor or a janitor, somebody has a connection with them.
Do you yield to it?
Yeah.
Just a question for like who you count as faculty, because faculty is considered usually just professors. So like, would you broaden that to administration?
Yeah,
and
all
support
workers.
Staff? Okay, thank you.
So maybe the term you're looking for is employees.
Employees. I yield.
Senator Allen.
So would you consider friendlying it to Gustavus students and students, faculty, and employees?
I would just say like students and employees, I think. And then the next question is, should we consider volunteers, and also are we only considering current employees or also considering retired employees? But yeah, I would be just fine friendling it. I just want a full definition.
Okay. I was gonna say I yield. Yeah.
I think that it should be all students and current Gustavus employees. I yield.
Ombudsperson Anil.
Yeah, I was going to say something along those lines, like current students and employees.
So the motion as it stands.
Friendly that?
Okay. So the senator who brought up the motion is friendly to the motion. So the motion as it stands is students and current employees.
In the event of the death,
yeah,
of a current Gustavus student or employee, right hand, right now, et cetera.
Okay. Do you have any more discussion on this, Sarah Lane?
I think we need to be very specific about what the modifier current goes to. So one could read it as current students and employees, but I think what our spirit is saying is current students and current employees, and that might be more specific, and more specific is better. I yield.
If that makes more grammatical sense, I friendly that.
Okay. We are still in this discussion. Senator Young?
To resolve the previous question, I thought I was going to suggest at the time of their passing, but the change of current Gustavus student or current employees does sort of clarify that. But I don't know if that's something people would want to change.
So like current student or current employee at Gustavus. And
oh, yeah, that's fine.
I think that's my last friendly, because this is getting really convoluted.
The floor is Young's.
Yeah, yeah.
We are still in the discussion. Any more discussion to be added to this? Discussion, discussion. Is there a vote?
Did we talk about if we wanted it on behalf of student body or student senate? Because I think Jonah has talked before that the card written from
the flowers are sent on behalf of the president, the board of trustees, and the entire Gustavus community.
Okay. I yield.
I think.
Discussion. 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 So now we are going to vote on the amendment.
We vote
in the event of the death of a current student or current employee of Gustavus, right, and we are not to the family of the deceased expressing our condolences on behalf of the student, but so just set the P section. Those in favor of the amendment as it stands, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? The amendment is on. We are back into discussion of the proposed amendments as they stand. Almost personally.
So how it works is we'll get it how we want it, and then we vote to consider the change next week, and then we actually vote on putting it on next week.
So you'll vote tonight to consider. So if you want to vote this in tonight, you'll vote yes to consider. And if you don't want to vote this in ever, then you'll vote no to consider. And if considering passes, then next week it'll come for an official vote to put it in.
So if we're going to vote this to consider, someone has to move to vote to consider.
Oh, whoa. Okay. I move to consider this amendment next week.
Do we have a second? Second, necessary on discussion.
We've discussed this last week about what we think we might do. It seemed we all agreed with the letter on behalf of the student body. I think the language looks good, and there's of course always the opportunity to amend it. Next week, if we get to the point that we feel like something needs to be amended at that point, I yield.
Any more discussion? Discussion, discussion. So now we are going to vote to consider these changes that have been proposed for next Monday. Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Abstentions? It has been voted to be considered for next Monday. We are back into old business. The floor was Chair Mir's floor.
It was
Senate Wickham, sorry.
Oh. I don't know if it's considered under the A part of our agenda, but if not, I would like to move to reopen discussion on the other bylaw talking about the standards to which we might hold senators to.
Yeah, they were not together, so you have moved to reopen it. You
yep.
have a second. Second goes to Senator Brown. We are into discussion.
Okay, so last week we talked about the possible changes to the Constitution to make it so that a senator who is found responsible for a Title IX violation is not allowed to serve in Senate. And we also brought forth, as pointed out by Jonas and Megan Rubel, that we might want to consider extending that to also extending it to senators found responsible for other conduct violations on campus, and then attaching it just to say, like, if someone receives disciplinary probation, then they cannot serve as a senator, like attaching it to a sanction rather than a particular violation. And we agreed to go back to our constituents this past week to discuss that with them, to get their perception on it, just to share what I received from my constituents. I visited IC, College View, Arbor View, and Southwest, and just kind of asked random people what they thought. The vast majority were in favor of just keeping it to Title IX violations, so that's what I got from people I identified as seniors and also random people.
that I did not know, or know personally, I guess. It's hard to not know someone by your senior year, or know of them. With that, I yield.
So we are in the discussion of this, and as we have talked last Monday, I believe most of you should have something to bring up from your constituents. Senator Lang.
I was looking at the Constitution, and it does have in Article 3, I believe, the aspect that a senator cannot be on academic or disciplinary probation. So that is currently the language in our Constitution. If we bring up the Constitution, they can have specific language. But I just want to put that out there, that we already mentioned something about this. So.
I yield. Any discussion? Vice Vanaki.
So, when somebody applies to run for Senate, they have to get their application signed off on, stating whether or not, so that if they're currently on disciplinary probation or academic probation, they're not allowed to run for Senate. I think the problem that you guys have is that you don't have a mechanism in place for anyone who goes on to academic or disciplinary probation during the time that they're serving. So I think that's where your rub is. Does that make sense? Like, you've got no way of doing anything about that. Other than an individual saying to themselves, I have a lot of integrity, I know what the Constitution says, I'll resign. Oh, sorry, I always forget that.
Good. Chairman?
Yeah, just more clarification. We don't have a mechanism implemented in the bylaws, but both me and the ombudsperson have talked to Megan and are aware of the mechanism that we could put into play. So depending on what we pass, the mechanism will be there. So we have the mechanism figured out. It's just dependent on whether it's not. It'll just be felonized or all conduct. I yield.
Senator Young.
So with the file we're looking at, it would be adding specifically a way for Title IX violations to remove people. Would it be possible to rewrite that section that says you can't run if you're on academic or disciplinary probation? To run or serve while on academic disciplinary probation, as that would also potentially solve this issue. Just an idea.
Can you remind me, Advisor Van Hecke, every person who runs for Senate, the applications go through your office.
So,
is that right?
So I think that the application that you all use has a line where the registrar has to sign off for academic probation and the dean of students office has to sign off on disciplinary probation. And if those two signatures are not obtained on a person's application, then the application is not considered complete and they're not allowed to run. I think that's how that works.
Chairman?
Yeah, and then adding on to that, all our version would look like is that the Dean of Students Office would also be checking for Title IX violations and have to sort of like cross check the student with the list.
Senator Concepcion?
My question is, what about write-ins? Because I know I was elected as a write-in and I didn't have to do any of that paperwork, so I'm wondering how, like, would the mechanism consider write-ins as well?
I think you have found a lovely loophole that no one has ever paid any attention to.
Okay.
All right,
I yield.
This is just a question. Is disciplinary probation and Title IX probational issues separate things, or do they not fall under the same purview, basically? Like, if you have a Title IX violation, does that not also count as, would that not also be disqualifying currently for running? So, like, if somebody tried to run right now with a Title IX violation, would that not already disqualify them from running?
If the Title IX violation was disciplinary probation, then it would get caught in your current system, if the Title IX violation was something lesser than disciplinary probation, it would not get caught in your current system.
Okay.
You yield to it.
Do I call point of... Or I just have... Could Jeremy or pull up the little chart thing?
Yes.
That'd be great. Thank you.
I got it. You have the floor.
Oh, I yield.
Okay. Almost person on you.
I yield.
We can continue discussion as
yep.
Do you have different areas we can put the chart?
Do you know where you're looking for it?
Yeah, what is it actually called?
Just scroll down like 3 blocks of the way. Actually, like 9/10 of the way.
Gotcha. Oh, I see.
Similar line.
Something to consider is also if we're talking about, because I think in previous weeks we were talking about past violations and past academic probation or disciplinary probation that wouldn't be covered by our current constitutional language. So if we want to consider that, we should probably talk about it a little bit more. I yield.
Keep going way down
there.
There's
a chart.
Okay.
It's really
oh,
nice
you want
chart.
The chart?
Down there. Keep going. Stop.
Just keep swimming.
Too much.
There it is.
Clarifying question for Jonas. I understood you earlier saying that if someone was currently under probation when they applied, they would under disciplinary probation. Okay.
So when we sign off on the form, the question is this person currently on disciplinary probation? And that's a very simple toggle. Yes, no.
Okay.
Like they are not currently on. Doesn't mean that they haven't been on and gone off, learned their lessons, served their time, being a productive member of our community, or they're not on, they've never been on. Both those would trigger a signature. Or they currently are on, at which point we would say to the candidate, sorry, we're not signing this because you're currently on. And then their application would be incomplete.
Okay. So we've had a lot of discussion about what the language might look like to enforce and continual enforcement, but the discussion I brought forth was specifically to talk about should we just do Title IX for this continuous overview, should we include disciplinary probation? So I would just like to hear, because we did all vote in the affirmative to go back to our constituents, I'd like to hear from everybody what their constituents said about what they think should disqualify a senator from serving. And then after that, if we want to discuss it today, we can discuss if we think that it should be ongoing, if it should be a past violation, et cetera, because that is another nuance. And then move forward from there. I yield.
That emotion into the discussion or just?
Well, I already moved to just discuss the whether or not it should be Title IX or probation or both or neither.
I'm guessing the bigger discussion, you are progressing the discussion.
No, when I moved to start the discussion, it was specifically to talk about if a senator should be disqualified for a Title IX violation, if they should be disqualified for disciplinary probation, or if they should be disqualified for both or neither.
Okay, so senators should express themselves on what the constituents came back with.
Yes. I yield.
Ombudsperson O'Neill.
I think my point was that this chart is just a guideline, and it doesn't actually, right? It just doesn't actually, like, it's not set in stone.
Sanctioned guidelines.
Yeah, okay.
Senator Anderson?
I think now that we've heard that it's already, like, in our Constitution that if they're on disciplinary probation, they can't run, I think that we should just stick with disciplinary probation and, like, not add in like Title IX while they're on Senate, but if they have
disciplinary probation for another reason while on Senate, that doesn't matter. Like, I think we should just, since that's already, like, kind of in there, I think we should just broaden it to be, like, if they had it before or after, disciplinary probation is not allowed. I yield.
Senator Sugar?
I would agree with the previous speaker. From people I talked to, they thought it was a little odd to just specifically mention Title IX and not include everything else. They liked having just like a level that if it got to that, then you're done. That was just a much more like black and white and easier to deal with. I yield.
Discussion? Senator Steinman?
Almost everyone I talked to said they favored only considering Title IX violations for disqualifying people from being on Senate. But that was kind of the opposite of what I was thinking. But knowing that we already have disciplinary probation as a threshold for disqualification in our Constitution, and considering disciplinary probation is a level of sanction in the Title IX system, I think it might make more sense to consider all violations. I do.
A previous speaker we heard from stated only their opinion, not their constituents, so I'd just like everyone to be mindful of letting us know what your constituents said. And then also, I know that we're saying that this is already in the Constitution. For some reason, I didn't put two and two together to realize it was already there. But if you went to your constituents and they said they don't think it should be there, that doesn't mean go back and see it's already there and keep it. That usually means go back and probably take it out. So based on what I heard from my constituents, I think it would actually be more favorable to take that out. I would still just be in favor of disqualifying a senator for a Title IX violation, because that's what my constituents said. I yield.
Senator Larson?
From what I talked with people from Mueller, they were in favor of leaving just Title IX, but if it were to come to all violations, then it would have to differ on each violation, because they thought that if somebody made a bad choice their freshman year and now they want to serve the community, they should be able to serve the community, and maybe that was a wake-up call and that changed them. I do.
More discussion? Senator Anderson?
Okay, so I think maybe a way we could go about this that makes everyone happy would be to have, like, you can't have a Title IX violation before being on Student Senate, and then you can't have any sort of disciplinary probation when applying or once you're on it. So, like, once you're elected a senator, then you should have to uphold, like, a certain standard, and so then if you do get on to disciplinary probation while on it, then you would be kicked off or whatever. Yeah, I yield.
Jeremy?
This is kind of a question for Jonas, but in terms of just strictly conduct, like, disciplinary probation is pretty, like, high up there in terms of, like, what you would have to do to get disciplinary probation.
There's not very many Gustavus students that are ever on disciplinary probation.
Exactly. Like, it's, like, pretty, it's reducing pretty, like, you know what I mean? It's pretty high up there. I yield. So just consider that.
We are still into discussion. Any other senators would like to express their feelings?
So the feeling that I got from my constituents was that there is a lot of confusion on the case to case. Obviously we have the guidelines, but case to case it varies on punishment, it sounds like. And I agreed with them, and the sense I got was that they favor just Title IX violations. But yeah, I yield.
Senator Larson?
I agree with the previous speaker. I yield.
More discussion? Senator Lyon?
My constituents were, seemed to be more conflicted about this, because they understood that we need to be held to a high standard for Student Senate, but they also wanted to be more in control of
deciding who represented them. So I had just the idea, and totally different, but I had the idea of requiring people who are running for Student Senate to make known their history in either Title IX or in academic or disciplinary probation to only their constituents, so the people who they'd be representing, so that the people could make an informed decision whether they want this person to represent them. I yield.
Reminder that this was your last time speaking for this discussion. Chairmere?
Again, the question Jonah asked, I don't think we can require students to release that information.
So the only people that can release a student's records is the student, and they would have to give written permission to someone else to release that information.
Chairman, saying this was your last time speaking in this discussion. Senator Allen?
Yeah, I think that's a violation of the students' privacy rights, so I yield.
Senator Concepcion?
Also, if there's like only one person that applies, then basic people would have almost no option, so they'd be almost forced to choose that unless they did a write-in, which is a common. So I think that would kind of force their hand to make a decision that they wouldn't necessarily want to make. I yield.
Our discussion on this, so we have discussion on the floor, and I think the committees came with, they want to hear what the Senate suggests, so that they go put change something in the bylaws and transition that we have, or leave things how they are. So, Alan?
I think what would be useful for me is now the committee having heard what our senators' constituents have said. I think it would be useful just to see it on paper if the committee would outline a few options that they thought would be useful in looking at and pursuing. So we're not just talking in hypotheticals, but we can be rather voting on specific plans. So I motion the ethics committee to look into specific plans, or multiple specific plans, so they can bring that back to Senate so we can discuss them next week.
You have a second? Second goes to Senator Anderson. We have two discussions, Senator Allen?
I yield.
More discussion on the motion as presented. Senator Whitlam?
So we were asked by the committee to give them more of a definitive direction to go into, rather than them having to go through the work of making potentially like six different options at this point, as far as ongoing or beginning or this violation or that violation. And it's kind of our job to be able to discuss these things. I feel like we should be able to. I'd also like to note that we asked, everyone agreed that they would go back and voted in the affirmative that yes, they would go back and talk to their constituents. I have only heard from 5 senators what their constituents said. I believe there's 15 of us in here, approximately 15 senators. So I'm not even prepared to like ask the committees to go through with this because I haven't heard even a majority of what constituents had said. With that I yield.
Senator Anderson?
I think it seems like, based on what I've heard and what I've talked to people about, is most people feel like Title IX is like the only thing that we should be putting in there, not adding more about disciplinary probation. So maybe we should just have the committee make some options for just that. I yield.
Any other discussion on the motion? Discussion. Senator Woodland.
Is the original person who made this motion willing to friendly that for us, or for the committees to provide options only for pursuing revocation of senator rights if someone is found responsible for a Title IX violation?
So are you asking to just, in the new bylaw, it's only focusing on Title IX violations? Or are you asking for the ethics to look into
revoking the current bylaw, which states that if you're applying for Senate, you can't be under probation.
No, only looking at what they were originally trying to do was just the Title IX violation. So providing options as far as like whether that's ongoing or a one-time deal, and what the purview is for that. Like, should any Title IX violation count? Should past Title IX violations count, et cetera?
I'd be willing to friendly that if it was just with a specific focus on that, because when I talked to my constituents, they were pretty divided on the issue. And since we don't have a lot of senators speaking about what their constituents said, I think, yeah, we need to focus on Title IX, but I don't know if we should ignore the other parts or the other probation issues as well. So I'd be open to hearing more senators talk about what their constituents said.
So right now I have the tally at 5 senators said their constituents were in favor of just Title IX. 1 senator said their constituents were in favor of all or nothing, and 1 senator said that their constituents were mixed. So I still feel like we could hear from a few more people, but the current discussion is, should we move forward with the committees giving us all of the options? I would not be in favor with this motion as it stands, because that is a lot of options if we're including all probation, certain probations, Title IX, not Title IX, forever, no past history, et cetera. So I do think we should flesh this out more. Echoing a previous speaker, I'd like to hear before we move this forward if senators would be comfortable siloing this a little bit more and kind of choosing like Title IX, disciplinary probation, et cetera. And yeah, I won't vote for this motion as it stands, but if it does turn out that it gets friendlied to something a little bit more specific, I will be in favor for it. I yield.
Senator Fonda? Based off talking to my constituents and off my personal opinion, I think people are kind of all over the board. And I personally think it's just a little narrow-minded to just say that Title IX violations are the one thing that should be taken into consideration when you're considering applying for Senate. That's why I kind of agree with the original motion to have a couple plans drawn up and then decide further from there. I think, in my opinion, I'd support one that was more geared towards any type of academic or disciplinary probation. And I think my constituents echo that. I yield.
Senator Concepcion.
My constituents expressed that because Title IX like does lead to disciplinary or academic probation, that we should mainly focus on Title IX, because that is a big focus. And so yeah, I basically echo the previous sentiment of whoever said that we should mainly focus on Title IX as the primary charge for the committee. I yield.
Senator Fenn.
I agree with the previous two speakers, and from what I heard from my constituents, their ideas are pretty mixed, but then what they really concerned was the Title IX and like how we would do about that. But other than that, I don't have any like suggestions.
Yeah. Any other discussions? Senator Fondo?
I have a question. I don't know who it goes to, but what issues with Title IX, would that qualify under disciplinary measures or disciplinary probation or whatever? So if you get in trouble with Title IX, does that count as like would you go on disciplinary probation for that?
I'm sorry.
There's all conduct goes through the same sanctioning, the same sanctioning levels, and the chart up there is the specific Title IX charges aligned with their sanctioning levels. So Title IX follows this system, and the conduct also follows this system. There's just a chart for the conduct side of it. So like if you were to look, I mean, you can see where the X's are, like what we have to do in a Title IX case to get disciplinary probation.
Okay, I
did. Any more discussion? Senator Sayoum.
Yeah, my constituents are also in favor of the Title IX, but I received a few questions about if we're going to be having an academic probation, would there be like any exception for students or like a petition that they can ask?
So the problem, again, is that you have a really great mechanism in place for who can enter, and you have no mechanism in place for somebody who goes on either academic probation or disciplinary probation during the regular, you know, like when you're already elected. Or if you come in as a writing candidate, or if you come in the, you know, through a random appointment or something like that. So the verbiage is very clear in your governing document. It's just that as you as a body have a process for dealing with the verbiage in your governing document, that doesn't exist. And then if you wanted to, where this whole conversation got started was the idea that if anyone had any kind of a Title IX violation ever that wouldn't necessarily have reached disciplinary probation, you know, if you got an admonition for a Title IX violation, the original discussion was should you remove yourself from Senate or should you not be allowed to sit on the Senate? So that's where it all got started.
I echo sentiments of Advisor Ben Hecki. I was going to say that because you can have a Title IX violation shown by the chart without being on disciplinary probation, that we should have something specific to Title IX. I yield.
Senator Adam?
So I think my biggest reason why I'm not willing to friendly my charge is because it's not solely about, I feel like most people or most students focus on like the drug side and the alcohol side of disciplinary probation, but it's also, I think as senators, we have to think, if someone gets into a fight and ends up beating someone like close to death, obviously, or just beating someone up, obviously they would probably get disciplinary probation. Would we be willing to have that person still sit on Senate, or do we want something in place to make it so they're not a good representation of their constituents anymore? I yield.
Almost personal, Neil.
So this is just for everyone's consideration. As it stands right now, the only, like that thing that previous speaker brought up about restrictions for participation in the Senate is in Article 3 of the Constitution. It says no member may be on academic or disciplinary probation while serving on Senate. So it seems to me that if we're going to do something about this, that would be what we would change. And so it would be something with the Constitution and not the bylaws. And the process for changing the Constitution is different than for changing the bylaws. And basically, we have to, as a Senate, vote 2/3 to consider it, and then we have to publicize it to the student body, and in order to pass it, a majority of the student body votes on constitution changes. So that's just to consider. And also just to clarify what a previous person said, it is possible to have a Title IX offense that's below disciplinary probation, like a low-level stalking thing or like urinating in public. Those would more likely be just an admonition. They would still be. So that's just another clarification I yield.
Industrial.
Oh, I remember. So I was going to talk about Igor Senator Allen, that I think there's, I'm like apprehensive to just say like Title IX, because I think there's plenty of things you could do at this school that like would put you like way out of being a student senator, like beating someone up very badly. And then I would agree with Ombudsperson O'Neill, because I think there are some things you can get a Title IX offense for that, like, I hate to say aren't that bad, but like public urination, like I don't think that's something that would like really like shouldn't disqualify you from serving on Senate. And that's why I'd want like a certain level of it personally, and that's what my constituents agreed with, is that there should be like a level of it, that there are some things that are worse than others that we can like pretty much like agree on, and that there are things that should disqualify you, but I don't want to narrow it down to like just one category of violation you can get. I yield.
Any other discussion?
So just my tally right now is at 8 in favor of only Title IX, 2 mixed, 1 in favor of all. And then going back to a
comment a previous speaker made about students not considering violations like fighting. We did discuss that there are conduct violations that can include victims that are not Title IX. In our past meeting, we did say that these do exist, so I would hope when we went to go ask for opinions from our constituents that we did explain to them what disciplinary probation meant and what conduct violations might be attached to it, including things like that. So I'm still in favor of siloing this just to Title IX. Without a yield.
This was a discussion. Any other discussion on this motion? Discussion. Before we vote on the motion, could you restate it again?
I charged the Ethics Committee to look into possible options and wording to bring back to Senate next week so we can discuss more specific options.
We are in the discussion. If there are no more discussion, we're going to move to a vote of the motion. Do we have any discussion before we vote?
Yeah, I have a question. So,
yes.
Are you like looking to change the bylaws still, or have we like changed the idea that we're going to try and do the Constitution?
And that's what I don't think you have any choice in the matter. I think that if you're going to change this, you're going to have to change your Constitution because that's what it's written.
Okay, I yield.
Okay. Any discussion or questions? Discussion, questions? So now we're going to move to a vote of the motion. Those in favor of the motion as proposed, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Abstentions? The motion passes. We are back into the discussion of Sarah Allen.
I yield.
The floor is yours. Any other discussion? Discussion as a whole?
No, point of personal privilege, could we get the agenda back?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on this? All right, we are back into business. Do we have any other old business? Old business? Saying now, next item on the agenda is new business. Do we have any new business?
First of all, a question. Are we time limited in our meetings, like to a certain amount of time?
It's not until 9 p.m. Past 9 p.m. we can
extend the meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
So y'all thought we were done talking about Title IX today, huh? So a few of my constituents have approached me relating to women's choir shoes. The choir program here in Lucia Singers, Gustavus Choir, and Choir of Christ Chapel requires that women purchase a very specific pair of shoes that they have to wear for concerts. And there's been concerns my entire 4 years here that I've heard about, but I've been specifically approached at this point about bruises, ankle problems that they've gotten from it, their feet going numb during concerts when they have to wear these shoes, etc. And also that this is a potential Title IX violation because it's required that women purchase these specific shoes and men are not required to purchase any shoes at all. They are required to wear black dress shoes, but the black shoes, dress shoes are their choice, and if they already own them, they don't have to make an additional purchase. It's worth noting that for the shoes, people who don't feel that they want to purchase like new shoes can get cheaper ones, I think, used from the choir program existing. My constituents were just hoping that someone from Senate could go advocate for them with the choir program to no longer require these particular women's shoes and to make it more fair, so either just allowing women to provide their own dress shoes or making it so everyone has to purchase shoes and allowing women to like not have to have the singular option. Like if a singer in the bass or tenor section decided they wanted to wear the women's shoes, they could, and if a singer in the alto or soprano section wanted to wear the quote-unquote men's shoes, they could, kind of thing. So I'd like to charge Student and Academic Affairs to look into this and to advocate with the choir program to make it so that these particular shoes are not required only particularly for women to purchase.
Do we have a second? Second is Senator Anderson. We are into discussion with you. Senator Wigman.
I think I've said my piece, but if anyone has a question for me, I would be open to that too.
Humboldt's Concepcion.
I have a question. Have they brought it up with the choir program or any directors of the choir at all, or just to you so far?
To my understanding, it has not been brought up to the choir directors, but the concern with an individual or even a small group bringing it up is that they are in a competitive program. We do audition every year. So there is a small concern with kind of losing favor with the director. And then there's also just concern of like not being treated favorably within the choir by directors, because we do only have two directors that are male directors, so they're also concerned that it might not be so sympathetic. So they were hoping that a third party could go in for them to do the advocacy.
Ombudsperson O'Neill.
Yeah, that was my question too. Seems like something that's kind of outdated, so if they need advocate, I feel like we should just advocate.
Jeremy?
Oh, I yield.
Any discussion on the motion? Discussion? Senator Concepcion.
I'm just wondering, would they want, like, Student Academic Affairs to write up a statement of advocacy to turn into the choir directors, or what would they be looking for? Like, what kind of advocacy? Verbal? Written?
They just specifically asked for it to kind of be addressed and hopefully the policy done with. I don't think that they care if it's written or in person. I would guess that in person might be able to be more effective with an issue like this, just because it is kind of turning over a policy that affects potentially about 200 people within the choir and how they do logistics for concerts and things like that. So I'm guessing that an in-person meeting might be the best option, but yeah, they didn't give specifics.
Any other discussion? Discussion? Seeing none, we're going to move into a vote. Those in favor of the motion as it stands, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Abstentions? Motion is charged to the Student Academic Affairs. We are back into new business, and so we can leave the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are back into new business. Do we have any other new business for today?
I just remembered something else. So I have a few friends, and I also know of a few other seniors who in their time at Gustavus have run into conditions where they've been very concerned about their ability to meet their financial needs at the institution to like pay for tuition, pay for student deposits. So my interest here is to collaborate with Advancement and Parent and Alumni Engagement to create some sort of fund that might be available for like these emergency needs. But I haven't done any research, so I don't know if Jonas might know something that already exists for this. But if not, I would be interested in ultimately charging Finance Committee to look into collaboration efforts to try and like create some sort of emergency fund for situations like this.
So we have an emergency fund that can be used for pretty much anything except paying your tuition.
Okay. So with that, I would like to charge Finance Committee to looking into collaborating with Advancement and Parent and Alumni Engagement into creating a fund that could help students with their tuition should extenuating circumstances occur.
Do we have a second?
I'm sorry. When you said now that you added extenuating circumstances, like I think then there is that, because students can have their financial aid re-looked at, like if there's a parent that passes away, or a parent that loses a job, or you know, like we had an example of a foreign currency being devalued, and all of those are examples that I know of where students' financial aid packets were reevaluated. So that's still very different than a student who's struggling to pay their portion of their tuition. But I don't know if this is what you mean by extenuating circumstances.
Okay, then I will revoke the portion about extenuating circumstances, but also for Finance Committee to kind of look into what the purview of that fund should be and who might be able to be eligible for it.
I had a question quick. What, could you rephrase the specifics of what you are charged, sorry?
So Finance Committee to look into collaborating with Parent and Alumni Engagement and Advancement, so
to get donors for this,
yep,
to create a fund that is available in like an emergency circumstance for students who are for some reason unable to meet their tuition payments or payments to Gustavus in general, but also for the committee to look into what should qualify someone for that circumstance or for that fund.
Can you clarify examples of like, I think what I'm confused, and it might just be because I'm first year, but like, what do you mean by emergency circumstances? Could you give a few examples?
I don't wanna like, I guess I haven't asked permission from my friends and the people I know of for the circumstances that have occurred, but more broadly, I just know of a lot of students who do have an amount they're expected to pay, and expected to pay in collaboration with their parents, and perhaps their parents cannot assist with that, where they're working extra hard, extra jobs, things like that to pay for it. So perhaps like maybe they lose hours at their job when their tuition payment's due or something and they're not able to get it that month or something like that. Yeah.
Would that be an issue though for student senate, or would it be what Jonas was talking about where that's, what's it called?
That they would have their financial aid packet reevaluated,
yeah,
by
would
the
that
financial
be,
aid office.
I thought that's like what it's considered under. Is it?
It certainly has been.
Okay.
I guess a question for Jonas then, do you see this as being something that's potentially valuable?
Well, I mean, I think part of what you're, I don't know for sure what students you're representing, but I think part of what you might be talking about is like an institutional decision about earned family contribution and whether or not the college's earned family contribution is high or higher than the college would like it. Right now, one of the strategic plan goals is to be able to meet 100% of need, and that the college has a group of people who are trying to aggressively work toward that end goal. It's, you know, folks in the financial aid office and in the advancement office who are trying to identify donors who can, you know, contribute dollars to the college that would specifically go to helping with the difference between the cost of tuition is and what a student's financial aid packet is. I think that might be what you're talking about, but then I don't know specifically. It's hard to imagine a scenario that isn't one of those two things, that isn't either about a student having difficulty meeting their family's earned financial contribution, EFC, and a student who has special circumstances that is being met, hopefully by individualized conversations with the financial aid office. But maybe there's somewhere in the middle that I don't know about.
Okay. With that, I yield. I understand if this does not get put forward, but I don't know if anyone else in the body can think of another circumstance. But yeah, if this does not get voted forward, I won't be sad, based on what I just heard from Jonas.
Does the motion still stand? So
yes, I'm leaving it on the table.
Do we have a second for the motion? Second. Motion fails. The floor is back to you.
I yield.
We are back into new business, and the floor is Senator Owens.
Oh, I yield.
Director Keeley.
I yield.
Is this from the discussion?
Okay, we are. Any other discussion? Seeing none, we are back into new business. Any more new business for today? New business. Seeing none. Announcements for tonight. Jen Nguyen.
I'd like to meet with my committee after the meeting.
Co-President Gabriel. Elections for co-presidents are on Monday, so I tell your constituents to vote.
It's a big day to elect the next leaders of Senate for next year. And with that, I yield. Ombudsperson O'Neill.
Yeah, thanks.
Senator Whitlam?
Question, is there like a debate scheduled?
We are going to discuss that right after. So we have one pair running, and we are wondering if we are going to do a debate or a Q&A session.
Thank you.
So
we're going to make the two people debate each other as a co-presidential team.
That'll be fun because one is on campus, one is abroad. So
yeah.
I Skype. Debate.
Whoa, they like took their picture before.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's why it looks like fall.
Yes. Senator Whitlam?
Oh, no, sorry. I was just
okay.
Moving.
Any other announcements for tonight? Announcements? Senator Allen?
I hope everyone has a good week.
Advisor Van Hecke.
On behalf of Liz, building bridges is this Saturday, and you should go.
A reminder that on Monday we are required to table a significant number of hours, so if the ombudsperson can sign up for tabling, please sign up as many as possible. With that, no more announcements. The meeting is adjourned.